Hey guys, this is Robert Rochelle from D3VBWest.com here with the D3 Volleyball National Wrap-Up. Today, we're once again going to look at the upsets from this past week, and thankfully there are fewer of them than we had in the first 3 weeks. So I'm going to use that extra time to go through some of the statistics I found that were interesting to me this past week, because God forbid I put on a short podcast. I will also look at my new top 25, and then we'll take a look at where some of the top teams are playing this week. As always, you can visit my website at www.d3vbwest.com for articles on the national scene, although I do focus mainly on the West region. All right, in my top 25 article this week, it came out on Monday, I made the comment that there were 14 ABCA top 25 teams that had taken a loss this past week after we had had 15 teams lose the previous 3 weeks, each week. Well, I miscounted. Now I only see 9 teams that took a loss, so that makes a lot more sense because we kind of have started the conference play, and a lot of teams have started that. A lot of teams are playing fewer matches, so it makes a lot more sense. Probably should have double checked, but you know, hey, that's what I do. I make mistakes. We also had 13 total losses from those 9 teams. So that's way down from the 21 losses we had last week and 31 from the week before. Again, conference play is the big factor in all that. So what I like to do starting off is to kind of highlight some of the upsets that occurred this past week. And like I said, there is a lot fewer of them. So we'll start off with probably the match of the week. And this was number 6 Chicago hosting number 1 Calvin, and this ended in a Chicago victory in 4 sets. There were a little over 300 fans out in Chicago to take up this game. It happened midweek, and to take a look at the Chicago Calvin match. As I said, this match did go to 4 sets, and each set went past 25 points. So the set scores were 28-26. 28-26, 25-27, and 27-25. So, obviously, the scores indicate a pretty close match. In this one, Calvin would have 3 set points in set 1 before Chicago would score the final 3 points, with 2 of those points being on Calvin errors. Calvin also had a 6-point advantage in this set midway through. In set 2, it was really closer throughout until a 4-point Chicago run that got them to 2017. Calvin would answer with their own 3-point run to tie it up. In this one, Chicago had 3 set points before finally winning, but Calvin also had 1 set point in this one before a kill by McKaylee Hardy tied it up at 24-24. Calvin did take set 3, which had a few more mini runs in the score that got us to Chicago leading 23-18. Calvin would then take the next 6 points. 3 of those points were due to Chicago errors and 2 due to service aces by Calvin. It would take 3 set points for Calvin before they finally got their first set win of the night. Calvin would once again have a set point in the final game, meaning that they were serving for the chance to win each of the 4 sets they played this night. With Calvin leading 22-19, it really came down to Chicago scoring twice every time Calvin scored once, and that allowed them to get back in this set and ultimately win 27-25. Statistically, as the scores would indicate, this was pretty close. Chicago seemed to make more of their chances while Calvin was getting some good pressure from their serves. The difference seemed to be the Calvin mistakes, which often came at the wrong times. Leading Calvin was All-American Sarah DeVries with 21 kills and 24 points. She also had a triple-double in this one. Chicago played only 7 players throughout this match, and they had 5 players with double-digit kills, while Emma Griffith had 54 assists in this one. The next upset we're going to take a look was down in the SAA conference. Birmingham Southern took down number 5 Barry in 5 sets. And like I said, this was in conference play. They had nearly 400 fans out in the cage They left disappointed, unfortunately, as Birmingham Southern jumped on Barry early and then jumped on them late to take the win. In this one, Barry was held to 062 hitting in the first set, and then hit zero in the fourth set, which were both dominant Birmingham Southern wins. Barry won both sets 2 and 3 by 2 points. Each set went 25-23. In this one, while Barry kind of won the blocking battle, they also made too many service errors in this one with 14, and they only got 4 aces out of that. We've seen in past matches with Barry that they really bring this pressure serve game, and it's just not going to work if you don't get more aces from it and you commit that many errors. In the fifth set, Birmingham Southern would get to 9-7 before Barry came back to lead 10-9 behind 2 kills by Emily Hancock. That would be the last lead they would have. Birmingham Southern called a timeout that led to a Barry service error, which was followed by an ace, and that put the Panthers back up 11-10. Birmingham Southern would go to 12-10, and at that point, the teams just exchanged points until the Panthers won 15-13 on a kill by Alyssa Coates. In this one, Julia Denby would lead Birmingham Southern with 17 kills and 18.5 points, while Carolyn Johnson really dug everything in sight, ending with 32 digs. Barry was led by Carson Van Campen. That's not unusual. She had 15 kills, 19.5 points, and Emily Hancock would also have 15 kills in this one. So disappointing result for Barry, but you know, I really kind of liked Birmingham Southern to start the year, so it's really not too surprising. They are a good team, and obviously that win shows it. Okay, we'll move out to the New England region. We had an unranked Tufts team beat number 15 Wesleyan in 4 sets. And I guess I should remind you, these rankings come from the AVCA. They're not my rankings. I currently don't have Wesleyan in my top 25. Now, this was a really important conference match, as Wesleyan was thought by many to be the favorite. And Wesleyan looked really good. They took the first set 25-21. They were hitting 280. But as the match went on, they would hit successfully worse and worse every set. And they would actually end set 4 hitting 024. Wesleyan would have a set point in game 2, but would end up losing 27-25. And they were actually up 22-19 in set 3 and would have another set point, but 3 straight points by Tufts gave them the 26-24 win. In set 4, it was just a different story. Tufts jumped out early and ended up taking this one 25-16. Still, you can see how close this match was, and really Wesleyan had a chance for the sweep here. They won the first, and they had set points in the next 2. In this one, Tufts would out-hit Wesleyan 244-189, and it was really their ability to play mistake-free at times that pushed them over the top. In this one, Kate Dessler would lead Tufts with 15 kills and 17.5 points on the night. Let's see, another upset. We had another unranked team. The Mighty Titans from Wisconsin, Oshkosh, took down number 18, St. Thomas, in 5 sets. You know, the WIAC is going to be fun again this year, and Oshkosh just let it be known that they're going to join the party. This one was a strange match in that neither team would actually get to double-digit kills in any of the 5 sets. St. Thomas would hit 038 and then 0 and then again 0 in the 3 sets they lost, while hitting 500 in the 2 sets they won. Oshkosh did jump out to a 2-0 lead in sets in this one, with both being a margin of 2 points before St. Thomas stormed back to take the next 2, 25-13, 25-21. The 5th set was all Oshkosh, as the Titans jumped out to a 10-4 lead on the back of two service aces and 4 St. Thomas errors. Now, at the fear of another pronunciation correction email from Ricky Nelson, Oshkosh was led by, and I'm going to go with Samantha Jake, who had 17 kills and 19.5 points. Carissa Sundholm would have 10 kills with only 1 attack error on the night, and Rachel Gardner would have 32 digs to lead both teams. St. Thomas would have 3 players with double-digit kills. Okay, two more teams were upset this week, and actually both these teams lost multiple matches. Number 23, Clarkson, they were beat 3 times this week. They lost to unranked teams John Hopkins, Mount Union, and Susquehanna. In the three losses, Clarkson was unable to stop their opponents from hitting over 200, which was like the first time all year that it happened to him. You know, Clarkson really doesn't block a lot, so they really need to have their defense going. They really need to terminate when they have the chance, and they were just struggling in both regards in those three matches. Number 24, Ithaca, they lost twice in the same tournament. They lost to John Hopkins and Susquehanna, so good weekend for both of those two teams. The Johns Hopkins match really wasn't close. Although it went four sets, the Blue Jays won. Their wins were 25-16, 25-14, and 25-17. It's one of the reasons why Johns Hopkins actually made my top 25, which you'll see in a moment. You know, the Susquehanna loss was also four sets. Those games were a lot closer. You know, the problem there was Ithaca had 34 attack errors, and that just did them in. So those were the upsets. Like I said, a lot fewer. Let me take a look at a couple of selected matches. Do a little deep dive. Just get through these pretty quick. The first thing I wanted to do was look at the Johnson and Wales Providence matches from this week. Okay, that was fun. Let's move on. The other one I wanted to look at was the number 2 Emory versus number 12 Carnegie Mellon. And this was actually a sweep for Emory. And what was interesting, I guess to me, I guess I kind of like the morbid at times, it really wasn't a pretty match between two of the better teams in the nation. Emory hit 170, Carnegie Mellon hit 101. They really, both teams had too many attacking errors. All three matches really shared the same story. It was close, and then Emory would pull it out late. And most of those points that came late that gave Emory the win were caused by Carnegie Mellon errors. So like set one, it was 16-16, and then it was 22-20 Emory before it ended 25-21. Set two was 20-20 before Emory scored the final 5 points for the win, and four of those 5 points were Carnegie Mellon errors. Set three had Carnegie Mellon actually up 21-18 before Emory would score the final 7 points for the win, and five of those 7 points were Carnegie Mellon errors. So, like I said, kind of ugly, but it's, you know, it's obvious Carnegie Mellon has some issues late in these matches. But you know, they cleaned that up, and you know, things could have been a lot different. All right, I wanted to kind of look at some statistics that interest me. Last week we talked a little bit about strength of schedule, and this week I posted a short tongue-in-cheek article on hitting percentage. For those that follow me, you know that hitting percentage is the only shared statistic in common with the last eight D3 volleyball national champions. All eight teams have finished in the top 11 in this statistic by the end of the year. And remember, that includes the statistics from the NCAA tournament. So it's not an easy thing to be in that top 11. As of yesterday, that means the only teams that can possibly win a championship this year are Calvin, St. Benedict, Johns Hopkins, Stevenson, Tufts, Colorado College, Mount Union, Carthage, Johnson and Wales, Babson, and Carnegie Mellon. That's your top 11. And right now, based on history, they're the only ones that that win this thing this year. You know, another statistic I like is opponent hitting percentage. It kind of shows, you know, which teams are able to really limit their opponents. And, you know, looking at this list, most of the teams are schools that really haven't played difficult schedules. So I guess that makes sense. They're easier to hold teams to a lower percentage when you're not playing a quality schedule. The first team that I came to from my top 25 was Emory, and they're sitting at number 37, and they're holding their opponents to 111. So thought that was interesting. I think you'll see more of the better teams creep in up when some of these lesser teams have to start play conference and are forced to play better teams. Now, being a former middle, I do love the blocks per set statistic, and it didn't surprise me at all to see Juniata sitting at the top spot with 2.78 blocks per set. I got to watch them a week and a half ago, and the one thing that really stood out to me watching them was their blocking and their ability to play defense. They're really fun seeing what balls they're able to dig up. Another statistic I found interesting was kills per set. It's led by Colorado College at 14.31 right now, but virtually all of the top 10 in this statistic were in my top 25, with the exception of Susquehanna and Stevenson. So Obviously, two teams I need to maybe take a more of a look at in the future. Obviously, with the weekend Susquehanna had, and they actually beat Carnegie Mellon 2 weekends ago, they're right on the outside of my top 25 right now. You know, in a past podcast, I mentioned how Ithaca, Juniata, and Endicott were going to be important because the New England region really isn't traveling for the most part this year. Well, the Ithaca and the Juniata matches, they're going to come down the road. They haven't come around yet. But we do have some early Endicott results. And the reason I'm kind of picking on them is because they actually traveled down to the Barry tournament earlier this year, and they ended up losing to Mary Harden Baylor in four sets, and they were swept by Barry. And, you know, and they won a couple games as matches as well. But, you know, as it turns out, you know, we're looking at Barry. I have them, I think it's six this week, five, I can't remember. But, you know, they're arguably a top 10 team. And then you've got Mary Harden Baylor, who's probably a top 30, 35 team right now because they've kind of, they haven't performed like I thought they would. Well, you know, Endicott 2 weeks ago, they ended up losing to Tufts in four sets and Wesleyan in five sets. So it's not a direct correspondence by any means, but it does kind of help us slot those New England teams in more in the Mary Harden Baylor range of teams. Now, this past weekend, Endicott beat Amherst in five sets. And what's interesting about that is that there's, if you look into the coaches' ballots on the AVCA Top 25, you'll find a number of New England coaches specifically that have been putting Amherst high up their rankings based on really nothing as far as I can tell. And then as they played, they've won. I think the Endicott was their only loss so far, but they've really played really marginal teams so far this year. In fact, their strength of schedule is 463. So you can kind of see that whereas, okay, let's give the benefit of the doubt to Tufts and Wellesley, let's maybe cool it on this Amherst party that we're having out in New England. All right, let's move over to my top 25. As always, I get my top 25 out on Monday. It's on the website if you want to go take a look. There's a lot of pretty words associated with what I did, and I'll try to not repeat them all here and get through the list relatively quickly. You know, there weren't as many losses, so there really wasn't a lot of great movement in my top 25. I actually, when I got through with it, I was kind of like, well, I really don't want to remove a team. I ended up doing that. Heidelberg was my 24th team. Last week, they ended up dropping out. They didn't have the greatest of weekends, but you know, I kept, it really came down to I wanted to bring in Johns Hopkins. They had a couple of nice wins. They're undefeated. And oddly enough, they're the only undefeated team I have in my current top 25. But starting at the top, I guess the big news was with the Chicago victory over Calvin, I was really faced with the dilemma of who's my number one. It really came down to four teams for me. I had Chicago, Calvin, Claremont Mudscripts, and Emory. I really kind of see them as the class above right now. And so the problem there is I have Chicago with a head-to-head win over Calvin. I've got Claremont Mudscripts with a head-to-head over Emory. And I wanted to respect those head-to-head wins. So that really meant that either Chicago or CMS had to be my number one. So then I looked at the flip side and I was like, well, do I like Calvin or Emory better? And, you know, just looking at the total picture, I like Calvin better. And so I said, all right, Chicago's my number one, Calvin's my number two, CMS is three, Emory's four. I rounded out the top five with Carnegie Mellon, even though they got swept by Emory, you could see that they were right there until the end. And that loss doesn't, in my mind, isn't a big killer. Rounding out the top 10, I had Barry sliding down a couple points based on that Birmingham Southern loss. Trinity's at 7, Juniata's at 8, Augsburg, and then Whitewater finishes up at the number 10 spot. The big story here is, you know, I've got Carthage, St. Benedict, Ohio Northern, and Transylvania as my 11 to 14. But the one thing I did do this week is because every week I go through and I look at the overall resume of the teams. And when I get to Johnson and Wales, Rhode Island, they just don't have a resume right now. The best thing about Johnson and Wales is their four-set loss to Emory, which was the first weekend. And I really don't have a lot of data points to really understand where they are. Now, they're going to be playing Tufts this weekend. That should be interesting. That gives me another data point. But right now, I just slid them down to 15 because I was like, you know, these other 14 teams have all had significant wins. They showed something during the course of the year. I don't know why I'm keep putting Johnson and Wales ahead of them. So following them, bunch of teams, take a look at the website if you want to. I really struggled around 18 with Eau Claire, Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and the teams under there of the ordering. There are a lot of, I struggled in the sense that I wasn't sure I really liked the finished product, but there were a lot of results, a lot of head-to-head, a lot of common opponents that kind of made it just step out in this order. So it's kind of like I didn't really struggle with it in the sense of putting it down on paper, but I struggled looking at it going, ooh, I'm not sure this is right. But I left it as it was. So like I said, Heidelberg got bounced. Clarkson's currently sitting in the 25th spot. They had three losses this week, Johns Hopkins, Mount Union, Susquehanna. They did end up beating Heidelberg, excuse me, which is the reason why Heidelberg left and Clarkson didn't. All right, so that's my top 25. Go to the website if you want to look at it, see it on paper, see what else I wrote about it. The last thing I'm going to talk about is where some of these teams are going to be, or who some of these teams are going to be playing this week. You know, we're more and more into conference play. There's some sporadic tournaments here or there, but now that we're at the end of September, it's all about the conference for the next months or so, really. So some matches to kind of watch for if you're able to jump on and see a stream. Calvin Saturday is heading over to Hope for their conference match, and that's always a fun one because that's really the number one and number two team in conference year after year after year, and they always get a good crowd. So that'll be a blast if you're able to tune into that one. Claremont Mud Scripps, they've got three conference matches this week. They've got Laverne, Cal Lutheran, and Whittier. And honestly, they should be fine with all three, but you know, a slip-up is also possible. All three of those teams have a chance to do some damage, and of course that makes their season if they're able to pull off an upset there. We've got Carnegie Mellon. They've got a couple interesting matches. They've got Otterbein and Mount Union, and both of those teams are just outside my top 25. I have them. My process is I have my top 25, and then I have a bunch of teams written down that I kind of watch and keep track of every week just to see if I should be bringing them in. And both of those teams are on that list. And since I sort of made fun of Johnson and Wales earlier, let me make up for it because they do play a bunch of matches this week, five matches in total. They get MIT first. You know, they're not the MIT of old. They're struggling a little bit, but they're not horrible. And so that should be kind of interesting to see what the result of that one is. They got Bowdoin as well, but they've been struggling. And so we'll see how that one turns out. The highlight's going to be on Saturday. They're going to play Tufts. We just saw Tufts beat Wesleyan. So that's going to give us a little cross-pollination in the New England region so that we can kind of tell what's going on there. I know the NCAA just assumes that everyone in New England's awesome, but I kind of like to see a couple data points before I'm willing to declare that. So that is the national wrap-up. I don't think I've got anything more else to say. I'm sure I went longer than intended, but I hope you stuck with it. I hope you enjoyed it. And for now, I'll talk to you later.